Mm-mm. Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Again, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Bruce McGowan. First trivia question. What team had scored more runs than any other team in World Series history and still lost the series?
Well, I'm going to say 1960. I remember the Yankees outscored the Pirates, I think, like 54-27.
You are correct.
Yeah, they won like 12-0, 10-0, 16-3, but they lost 10-9, 4-3, 5-3, you know.
Some guy named Mazeroski just kind of walked off home run.
I got to know him a little bit and asked him about that. Oh, he lived off that moment forever. Oh, hit the home run that won the World Series. Yeah, good second baseman.
Was he Hall of Fame, though?
No, but he was a terrific fielder and a good hitter.
Okay, fair enough.
Nice guy.
Well, look who joined us in the studio. Steve Baker, sports agent. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Excellent. Now, you said you have a trivia question for us.
Well, hearing Hall of Fame, I have my favorite current trivia question. There are three players who won consecutive MVPs in baseball who are not in the Hall of Fame.
Interesting. Oh.
Name the three players.
Wow. Ooh. That's a good one.
Boy, that is a good one.
Thank you.
That is a good one. I'd have to think about that.
I feel validated. This is like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. Yeah. I'm validated.
In fact, it's so funny about that show because my daughter says, "You're Edward, or Dad, you're just like Larry David."
Yeah. I think Dale Murphy is one of them, isn't he?
Dale Murphy. That's the hardest of the three.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the hardest of the three.
Played on some bad.
Very good
bad,
job.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the odds of being a consecutive MVP and not being in the Hall of Fame. There's three. You got the hardest.
Okay. They're not.
They won MVPs two years in a row, but are not in the Hall of Fame.
Wow. Hall of Fame.
Wow. One should be totally obvious to you.
Oh, Barry Bonds.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was about to say you can catch him working out at the Marin Day Club every day, but you already got it.
Yeah.
Is he seriously going out there? I didn't realize.
The third one won his first MVP
what year?
With the Kansas City Royals,
uh-huh.
and the following year won it with the New York Yankees.
Oh, wow.
Willie Wilson? No. Can't be George Brett because he is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. George Brett never played with the Yankees.
He never played with the Yankees. And it can't be not Ricky Henderson. Holy smokes.
I'm drawing a blank on that one, too.
I'm sure I heard of him.
The teammates in baseball history who have the most home runs together in a season were Rich Aurelia and Barry Bonds. Mm. This other MVP had the second most home runs in a season.
Wow.
Okay, so he was a home run hitter. It wasn't bye-bye Balboni.
No. Who did play for both teams? I'm stumped.
I am utterly shocked.
I don't know. It's got to be obvious. Who is it?
He then played in the World Series in the mid-60s for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, okay. So now we're going back in time.
Roger Maris.
Correct.
There we go. Roger Maris.
He was the MVP the year before he hit 61 home runs.
Yeah, yeah. He did play with the Kansas City A's.
Kansas City?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I just remember him from the Yankees.
I think he was from South Dakota.
And I'm disqualified because I said Royals. I guess they weren't the Royals.
Yeah,
so it was Kansas City.
There you go. See, that's
so,
why I didn't.
So throw it all out.
But I think at Barry Bonds.
I have no future as a game show host.
None of us do.
Alex Trebek.
You're in good company.
All right, Steve. So I had some other things to talk about, but tell us what's going on with you and because don't you primarily do football?
I primarily do football. Okay. Yes, I'm actually heading out to the NFL Combine in 2 weeks.
Okay.
To watch one of my new clients, Peter Kalambaye, who's an outside linebacker from Stanford, who I suspect is going to turn a lot of heads at the Combine.
Cool.
He started outside linebacker for Stanford and. Is really, besides a real role model, a marvelous athlete and
excellent.
Someone who will really blow up the combine workouts.
Now, if you get athletes other than football, is it you're not pursuing them, they just happen to know of you?
You know, in the course of my career, I've represented some baseball players. I put together a skate show years ago for Brian Boitano. which was very interesting, where we were negotiating with Bill Graham and Jerry Weintraub on who would end up producing the skate show.
Did you get to drive the Zamboni?
I did not get to drive the
That's
Zamboni.
That's fun, by the way.
I would have loved to have driven the Zamboni. I mean, I guess it's Marlon Brando on the waterfront. That could have been a contender.
Yeah, it could have been a contender.
I could have rode the Zamboni.
Wasn't there a song about driving the Zamboni that used to play it at the hockey games? You
I
know?
Think so. Yeah. Isn't it like a lawnmower for ice?
Pretty much.
I mean, I know it kind of.
Well, it shaves the ice and then lays down a sheen of water, which, you know, theoretically freezes.
Now this is beginning to sound like a Rosanna Dana thing. You know, it shaves the water, and then the water gets all icy.
Well, it's funny because in bowling, you have to oil the lanes. You have a special machine that kind of oils it, and there's special ways to do it.
Hey, backtracking a second, you know, Steve was talking about Stanford. What is it, Steve, about Stanford that produces so many good NFL players the last 15, 20 years? I mean, there's a huge number of NFL players from Stanford.
You know, I've represented over 25 Stanford players who played in the NFL.
You know, I'm going to take a quick guess here that Stanford has such a good scholastic program that some of these better athletes are kind of, I'm just totally guessing now, are kind of looking and saying, you know, my career in sports may only last so long. So if I get an education or if I just come from a really, really good school, you know, that's going to bode well.
Where Stanford's built an incredible machine now is it was always a place that you'd want to go, but now it's starting with Harbaugh and continuing with David Shaw and previously with Coach Willingham. It was a place that was competing to be a top 20 team while at the same time you got an education that's second to none.
Okay, so a lot of it really is the coaches then.
Both Stanford has certainly gone through periods where they've been 5-5 teams. I mean, the last 10 years has really been an extraordinary run. I mean, if I was an athlete and you had an option to go to Stanford, how do you not go there when you get that kind of degree? And when you know you're going to be competing for a national championship, the odds are if you're the best player on the team, you'll come in second in the Heisman Trophy voting.
Yeah, really.
And you know, it's an absolutely amazing place.
See, rather than go to the East Coast of Wisconsin, right?
It's the East Coast of Wisconsin. a great memory.
It's interesting you bring up both Harbaugh and David Shaw, and I was thinking prior to Harbaugh football program was in disarray for a number of years. Even with Bill Walsh, he couldn't get it out of the funk. But these guys did a great job.
It's actually very hard to compete at Stanford because the you still have to get into the school.
Yeah.
And you know, again, what I can tell you is each person that I've represented from Stanford is more extraordinary than the next. My first client ever from Stanford was a player named Charlie Young, who came back and visited me 3 weeks ago, and he's now a extremely successful real estate entrepreneur who in his free time plays basketball with Obama. It's difficult. It's different than your typical person.
The Prez has game, too.
One of my clients, Shane Scove, grew up playing football in Mexico, speaks fluent Spanish, and runs camps for kids in Mexico. He's on the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, he is. Because I was going to say, there was a guy, I covered that team real closely, got to know him, and you talk about a football mentality. I mean,
Shane Scove is a Harvard Business School study on how teams misevaluate players. Because what's between Shane Scove's ears in terms of football knowledge and instincts are almost unmatched. Well. And the problem with Shane is he doesn't have a great 40 time, so he doesn't get a chance to get on the field. Mm. If he ever got a sustained chance to be on the field, I suspect he'd never get off. I mean, he is one of the most instinctive football players I've ever been around.
You know, I think if I were a player, I'd be a little scared to go to a place like Stanford because you have to practice so much for football that – you know, where do you get time to really study? Because Stanford is not an easy school.
I'll tell you, the line on Stanford, and I probably shouldn't say this, it's impossible to get in, but also impossible to fail out.
Gotcha. Mm.
Okay. I mean, Cal, I've heard many horror stories. I mean, they work you like crazy. Mm. And I'm not saying Stanford doesn't.
Are you talking
about Stanford,
the football or the scholastic part?
Scholastically, Cal is much tougher once you're there.
Really?
Interesting.
I've heard that from many people.
Interesting.
Stanford's an unbelievable school. But Stanford has more programs in place, from my experience, to help someone through it. With that said, Bryce Love wants to be a doctor.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you could be competing for a Heisman Trophy and at the same time get a degree that'll send you to medical school.
Yeah, that's amazing. I know it's interesting. When I went to graduate school, they pretty much told us ahead of time, listen, you start with a B. You got to work really, really hard to get an A, and you have to work pretty hard to get a C.
Yeah.
same sort of thing.
I mean, that's happened at a lot of places. My son's at USC right now, freshman. I'm actually going down to visit him tonight, which I can't wait to do. And You know, he's studying neuroscience. Wow. And, you know, needless to say, neuroscience is not as easy as my pursuit of a history degree from Tufts was. History degree with Tufts was let's go drink on Friday night.
Yeah.
Neuroscience, it's pretty intense.
Wow. Hey, Steve, I got to ask you, how does one become a sports agent? Obviously, you have to have a background in law, I would think, and you have to have a passion for sports. But how do you get in and make the contacts and convince athletes to, hey, trust me with your money. I'm going to do the right thing for you, get you into some good investments, steer you in the right direction. How do you do that?
I think it's some strange combination of skills and relationships.
Because you stay out of the financial part, right?
I do. I believe it's a complete conflict for the. I will certainly help my clients interview financial people.
Okay, good.
But everyone over the last 5 years has thought they're a brilliant financial person because you threw a dart at the board and your money went up.
Yeah.
I don't believe the agent should be near the money. It's basically some subtle combination of relationships and skills. Mm. But what's interesting is my first big client actually. Mm-hmm. I signed him not as much because of my agent abilities, but because of my knowledge of Spider-Man.
Your knowledge of the comic book Spider-Man?
As a kid, the thing I think I was put on earth to be was a camp counselor. And I was a camp counselor at a camp where I used to sit with my kids at night and read Spider-Man comic books with them. And I was introduced to Ken Harvey, who was a first-round draft choice out of Cal.
Yeah.
And Ken and I bonded over our knowledge of Spider-Man, and he was impressed that I knew that Gwen Stacy was Peter Parker's first girlfriend rather than Mary Jane Watson.
All right, stay with me. We're going to come back to Spider-Man in just a minute. Okay, here we go. Second trivia question. We have to go through a break. We're talking baseball. What team made the Yankees suffer their first ever 4-0 sweep in a World Series?
Mm.
All right? That's our trivia question. Don't touch that dial. Sports Econ 101. We'll be right back.